and welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast for three dungeon masters who've been doing this for way too long. Talk to you about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
If you want to know if something's true, who you gonna call, Mythbusters? That's right, people. Rock and roll DM. DM Dave here.
That was like a mix of two songs together.
Yeah. So this is for all our longtime listeners, we're in the Wayback Machine. We're going all the way back to episode 39 and episode 42 from 2021 when we were all stuck in our homes and we were washing our mail. So we're back with RPG Mythbusters. So episode 39, again, remember, never split the party. And episode 42 was party balance is essential. And we either busted or confirmed them. For anyone who isn't long time, you're going to have to go back and see what we thought about that. But today we are returning to the Mythbusters. But we are returning to Mythbusters because we are going to see, is the tavern the best place to start an adventure? Holy crap, it's almost like we're going to do one on alignment because I can already see the firestorm
that's going to occur from this. 160 or 170, look for that one. Yeah,
you don't even know how much fire this is going to create on social media. Holy crap, I'm throwing it out to you guys. We are in it to win it, RPG Mythbusters.
A tavern is a very familiar setting, especially if you're doing you got a new group. I feel like that's easily relatable. So that, you know, if I brought a new group of players who have never played Dungeons and Dragons before or any of these other great tabletops that are around, and I said you're in a paladin's chapel, maybe that doesn't have the instant, like, your imagination's not immediately, you know, generating images. The atmosphere is a little bit harder to connect and portray what you're saying to your audience. That requires more heavy lifting on your part. So you're like, you're in a tavern, and everybody gets that. That's one of the advantages of something like Call of Cthulhu. You know, you guys can all meet in a restaurant. Do you really need to spend, you know, three different block tests describing the restaurant? No, you're in a restaurant. Everybody gets it. There's a server, there's some waiters, there's a cook in the back you don't see who's doing a good job or, you know, not doing a good job preparing your food. You know, everybody kind of gets it, and then you can move forward and focus on the story. So is it used a lot? To death, absolutely. Probably 23 campaigns I was in started at a tavern, but I don't think anybody minded.
Tony, that's actually an amazing point, is that, like, you say tavern, everyone immediately knows. As a side note, I will tell you guys, if I do run a Call of Cthulhu one-shot at some point, you will meet in Delmonico's Steakhouse. Just yes. Because Caleb Carr and the aliens
the bar section, goddamn good. So it's more caverny.
Yeah. Right?
But no, and it's funny you say that. I never thought about food being prepared in my D&D tavern before. Like, Crossbow Hayes was like spitting in your pot pie before he delivered it to you. There,
did he wash his
something
hands?
Like that. Like, oh man. And like, I'm going to have to add that in. It's a layer of subtext. But now, I think to your point, taverns always work nicely because it's an easy sell than someplace unique. Like, people would commonly gather there, conspirators, whatever, throughout history. Taverns are places where people are just hanging out, where gossip is readily available, secrets and clues, you may actually encounter them, and it doesn't feel like if all of a sudden you appear in a paladin's chapel, for example, that implies some level of, I'm into the story already to some point or something like that, which is good. You can make the hook about the players, but I think as a good solid hook, the tavern works well that way. You know, I think there are better ways to do it. Like, I think, you know, that's like sort of the where, but the how and the why you're there make a little bit more sense to it. I think the tavern is just the dressing and a nice, easy place to put it where it doesn't seem like you might not just show up here. It's not where, you know, people would just naturally be gathering there and talking about things.
Excellent points to both, Tony. You said it, that the idea that it is, you immediately know where you are, and you can describe your tavern in a different way, right? Like, your tavern can maybe set up, you know, a slightly differently, with its second floor is different, and it overlooks the first, and there's a huge open studio on kind of area,
hibachi guy,
or whatever, right? or something like the Yawning Portal, right? But yeah, it you immediately kind of already, okay, so it's like that dimly lit, there's wood panels, there's, you know, tables, chairs, there's a gruff bartender, probably, there's patrons, right? But Chris, you are absolutely right. Historically speaking, it was the meeting place. It was actually more the town square than the quote town square, right? That's where, I mean, that's where the seeds of the revolution were fomented, was in taverns. That's when they would talk with each other, right? There's a reason that in Les Mis, they're in the tavern, you know, empty chairs and empty tables, you know.
You could speak about secret illegal things there. It wasn't out in the light of day. It wasn't the town square. It was that illicit town square where you could share things and things were available to you that when you weren't under the light of day. So.
No doubt. It's also, Tony, like you said, the Paladin Chapel, right? Awesome place to start. I got no problem with that. I got no problem starting media res, right? Or anything like that. But the beauty of the tavern and why it's so utilized is because it is a start point. It is literally like start here on the map because, Chris, like you said, ideas of like what's happening in town, rumors, secrets and clues, all this kind of stuff becomes much more organic in a tavern because I have multiple people that could deliver this, as opposed to Tony, you were saying like, you know, you're at Paladin's Chapel. So as a little aside that kind of points this, I'm rereading right now. I just started it last night because I just finished. By the way, I just started this book series, A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. It's like super blowing up. People are talking about it. It's super good. Anyway, I'm done the first book, so I don't have the second yet. So I decided to pick up The Lord of the Rings. You know,
you
a quick read, you know, a quick read. But to get to my point here, in The Lord of the Rings, right, the book version, which has been quite a while since I read this, so most of my knowledge is more fomented by the movies, Peter Jackson movies. I mean, beautifully done, right? But when I'm reading it, like when Gandalf is sitting in Frodo's, you know, in the Shire and Bag End, right, literally reveals for like 25 pages the entire thing of like what's happening from the history of Elendil and Isildur up to Sméagol and Deagol and Gollum up to he's just talking fucking Gandalf like I don't know how much tea they were drinking but he literally talks for like 25 pages yeah like Tolkien like Tolkien would not have done as well, I think, in the modern day, where, like, you need to break up your monologue a little bit. But it's like that. The paladin chaplain in the chapel, you would have to deliver so much more, and it would feel like you're front-loading it a lot, you know? So, like I was saying, the tavern is so much more organic.
Well, that, and I think Paladin's Chapel or something like that, it depends on how much the hook is the players. Like, Dragonlance, for example. We'll go on another Dragonlance tangent. That in Dragonlance, always. It was our relationship to Greenshield that was the tavern, so to speak. And then there was a meeting that we had there, but it wasn't like we came together organically and learned about this. We weren't just a group. We weren't like the Iron Chapter where we're just a bunch of guys working. That's the backstory. And then we find out our mystery. Like the mystery is kind of tied into the players ourselves. And then the tavern becomes less important. It's just a nice, easy player. It's just much easier than if you don't have a good hook to tie your players in or anything like that. The tavern is a nice place. And it's always a good place to go first in town, right? Even as a player, like the first place you kind of want to go is like the tavern. Or to go buy something. But you know what I'm saying? Because
maybe tavern, you do, Chris.
You know, the tavern is where I'm getting my next adventure that's going to give me more gold and more experience, right? Like just standard, like RPG style, any kind of like any of the games you play. The first place you go into, you get into town, you go to the tavern to collect up rumors and additional side quests to be able to advance your character forward. So it just is a natural, it's a natural nexus of cool activity. It's just, and it's much easier than having to tie a larger story into your players going in, which is still super awesome, as in the Dragonlance case.
Yeah, Chris, that's exactly what we're kind of talking about. So the tavern, again, one of the reasons people utilize it to start with so much is like, so let's say you're starting the campaign, like this is session zero or session one, whatever you're doing. If you're meeting in a tavern, that gives a neutral zone within which to also introduce all of the players, right? And, you know, usually, okay, describe your character and what do they see when they walk in, which is a lot harder, which no problem if you wanted, like we did it with the Iron Chapter. We were going through Lost Mines when Lenny was running us through it. And we start and the goblin ambush, right? So it's in media res, like you're traveling and then boom, something happens, which is cool. But that means now, like if it's brand new players, let's say, well, now they have to introduce themselves and get used to what this game is in a much more high tense situation, right? And they don't even know what these funny looking dice are on this character sheet, much less anything else. But you put them in a tavern, well, I'll gun and ale, sir. You know, they kind of get a sense of what's happening, right?
Well, you guys both mentioned the Yawning Portal and Dragonlance. So the Yawning Portal, we had a fantastic campaign that started there, ironically, because there's a giant hole in the floor where the adventure is literally beneath your feet, which is, you know, truly an awesome place and an incredibly dangerous place to kick things off.
Yeah, Tony, that was the 5e anthology one where they rebooted a lot of the old mods. Tales of the Yawning Portal. You're in the Yawning Portal and you go down the thing and it's against the giants and you go down and it's the Sunless Citadel and you go, you know, yeah.
God, it's like a mix of taverns and portals.
Neverwinter.
In some cases are worse than taverns, but we've talked about that later.
Neverwinter Nights, the video game, actually did it fantastically too. But if you didn't want to do a tavern, okay, so I'm going to gather my heroes to the Tower of High Sorcery. There's your Kryn reference. But, like, what does this mean to them? Is this, like, the Towers of Zagat because they're familiar with Greyhawk? Is this, I don't know, like, does it look like the Washington Monument? Does this look like the Tower of Bowman's Tower? I mean, like, does this look like the normal structures of this world? Is this something really truly auspicious? The Yawning Portal, we all remembered it was like really fixed as like a starting foundational point in the campaign. Other landmarks, I mean, you can certainly, you know, but like as everybody's playing with their funny dice and they're like, gosh, what's on my character sheet? Is that really going to connect as easily? And as you were saying, Dave, give them the opportunity to dare to do some ground level attempts at role play.
Speaking of the Yawning Portal, it made me think, I want to have you guys over to go through it. Bonnie and I played it. Beth, her mom had gotten it for me, I think last Christmas or something, but it's the Yawning Portal, the board game, okay, where you literally are playing some of the servers and bartenders at the Yawning Portal, and you have to, like, you know, it's like you have to get their food and drink orders out and collect gems and stuff. And like, as we're playing it, I'm like, oh my God, in the right circumstance, I could actually see this being a mini game within a D&D campaign where like it has to, you have to like run this in for like a day or something, right? Like
whatever time.
But yeah, it's right. Exactly. Right. It's, yeah. Or root beer tapper. Right. But yeah, it's like it's so baked into the it's so baked into fantasy, especially worlds. But even Chris, like you said, even historically speaking, it is.
No, I don't kind of get back to it. I think in many cases, unless you're shooting one shots, in which case portals work better. I mean, the Yawning Portal is kind of a combination of the both. A tavern is much more organic than a portal. A portal is a quick, easy way to get you to someplace quick. If I have tonight to do it, if it's a birthday game, if it's something I need to deliver you to, this boom, then I can open up with that. It's like the Tomb of Annihilation, where the original thing is like they just basically portal you into Chilt, and it's like, well, why the hell am I here? It's like, you know, you show up at somebody's house and he's like, all right, I'm gonna send you on an adventure, and you're gone, right? And you're like, well, I don't know anything about this yet. And I thought it was cool they added that sort of pre thing where you had to go on an additional adventure, sort of session zero style, to set up the adventure. So it's much more like a, you know, a tavern could also be like a nice session zero kind of place where you play the characters coming together and you're able to give that. Maybe you're, you know, you have this huge published adventure that you want to run, but you need a place for the characters to get together. Even Lenny was kind of struggling with it with Lost Mines, where he created a bit of a backstory. He had to give it to you sort of in the beginning box text style. But take the advantage, use session zero as a way to kind of act as your tavern, where it's this, you guys get together and it's, you know, all of a sudden you become this team through this short adventure that leads you to session one and acts as that way to kind of like the tavern or the portal to get you to the beginning of the adventure with something to care about. And your characters are a little bit more invested in it now because now I know why we became the Iron Chapter or something like that. Or I know for the Tomb of Annihilation why I'm going to Cho. And now it has a little bit more significance because I found the piece beforehand, right? Like the first, it's like the prequel to The Omen. And now it's like The Omen, but the prequel makes it like, oh, they found this beforehand. And now it makes this makes that much more sense. So I think, you know, Session Zeros and stuff like that work even better than something like a tavern or a portal to be able to launch a adventure, so to speak, like that.
That's a good point, though, in terms of what is the type of game you're playing. Because, yeah, if you're doing a one-shot, a tavern can be a phenomenal time sink where, like, all of a sudden I have 5 hours or 4 hours to get through this and a good 45 minutes is just burnt on like, well, people how many coppers, sir, for the ale? You know, and you're somebody's trying all the IPAs there, right? Like, because you got some role player that wants to have fun with it. And you're like, okay, cool. Like, now it's an hour is burned out of this fucking time, right?
Well, you know, that kind of, if you're ready to move on to the next one, I'd like to take a shot at hero behavior as the myth surrounding that. And you know, I want to steal your meme, actually. That you posted on Instagram, which was fantastic, where the bunch of guys walked into a 7-Eleven. They were all clearly armed. They asked if there was if the shopkeeper had any ballistic armor available or any drones. Then they haggled with the guy behind the counter to get 50% off energy drinks, and then they left him a $500 tip when he gave him some information.
Yeah, because they just solved a murder. You're like, what the hell is going on? Yeah.
So with that, you know, like there's this the hero behavior. So you're in the town and you've done something and now you get to haggle with everybody. And we've all seen that in games. Like everyone's kind of got this whole, you know, like I'm a local town celebrity and you have this guy at 7-Eleven. He's like, yeah, I think I heard something about that. Thanks. It's not my store. I just work here.
You hear a lot of weird stuff out in front of 7-Eleven. We used to hang out there, like, when we were younger and stuff like that. Even a 7-Eleven, in many ways, is kind of like a weird tavern, right? It's like a tavern for, like, younger people who can't go out to the thing. They hang out there, and it's you and, like, the old weird guy who's smoking out there, who's telling you some kind of crazy conspiracy story or some crazy thing that happened out there was accident, and these people died and all this other stuff, so... I think that's if you're playing a futuristic 7-Eleven or something more modern, 7-Eleven is legitimately cool as a tavern or a Wawa or whatever.
7-Eleven or Denny's.
7-Eleven or Denny's.
Which were the modern world.
Denny's was like Denny's Route One could be like its own campaign there, like the start of the Earth 6-1 shit stuff.
You're like Indiana. You're tapping back.
Like people like he could go through the couch and get to the mall. Like we had some great times there. That stuff was so funny.
So Chris, you had brought up one, you know, for one shots, right? One shots, a tavern may or may not actually be the greatest place to start an adventure because, like we were saying, like the time sink could be a problem. Like you need to get rolling, right? You need to, you know, so maybe the people come to the hero's keep that they have, you know, and they hire them for an adventure or portals or whatever. But what are some other things that maybe, you know, maybe confirm or rather bust this myth that the tavern is the best place to start? What are some other times when, you know, is it overplayed? Is it overhyped? Is it, you know, is it just a trope that should be kind of tossed by the wayside? Are there better ways to start it?
I think a little bit like party balance and everything, it's a bit of a myth. It's really about, like, I mean, anytime we're getting together to play D&D, there's this implied sort of consent we were kind of talking about earlier, implied consent, that we're all getting together to play an adventure, right? In a book, stuff happens naturally, right? And, oh, all of a sudden, you know, freaking Frodo's on an adventure now because he got the ring from his father, you know, and all these other things, or it was his uncle, right? But
yeah, but only after having been at the Green Dragon, he was still in a goddamn tavern.
You know, but I'm saying, but there is, when I pick up the Lord of the Rings, I know an adventure is going to happen. I know I'm not just going to read about, like, I'm going to pick up on Frodo's life and he's going to have the party. And then for the rest of Frodo's life, he's just hanging out with Sam and they're going out to the pub and they have a nice thing. I know an adventure is coming. And I think in the same way, when we sit down at a table for RPG, you know, D&D or any of these other ones, there is an implied consent that we're all here for an adventure. So the tavern is a good spot if you want to have it in there, but it's not essential because I can deliver the thing however I want. If you want a deeper experience, we can sit in a tavern and talk, like you said, for 45 minutes and create that organic experience. But we're all there. It's more about the hook that you're delivering. Like, you're here to stop the death curse. And this is the, and you're the, this group of adventurers, and you're the only ones who can get out into the jungle and map this and save it. And who's delivering it? Is it someone who matters to the adventure? Is it just some random old guy in the corner? Is he deeply connected to that? Is he connected at all to the players? Like, I thought that was cool about Dragonlance, is that even though Green Shield wasn't like we hadn't adventured for him, in our context of our backstories and our things, we had, there was a sense of we knew this character who was sort of delivering this next part of it. And that was what we were shooting for. So even if we hit a tavern, right, in session one, we're literally searching through the tavern to find what the DM has planted there, because I know that I'm here for this adventure tonight. I know we're starting Tomb of Annihilation. At some point, like, we're heading to Chult, right? So no matter where I'm going to drop you in the beginning, you pretty much, unless you, like, you come out from under a rock or something like that, you know at some point we're heading to the jungle and we're going to Chult. So it just becomes window dressing that isn't necessarily, so it doesn't make it the best place. It just makes it the most naturally organic place for humans, because that's where we naturally sit around and talk about things like we're going to go deep into the jungle and slay a bunch of monsters, right? You don't talk about that just sitting around the water cooler at work.
I was thinking, what if Frodo just think he was just hanging out with Sam and going to the pub? Those would have been really weird Led Zeppelin tunes then, like Misty Mountain Hop. It would have just been like Glory Days by Springsteen instead, but with like a beautiful acoustic guitar.
He met some girl, you know? Yeah, it's just,
yeah. The real pastoral scenes of, you know, Glory Days, you know,
about their pub crawl.
It would not have had the same effect, right? You're picking it up because it's an adventure. So
I guess the difference is, and this is why I threw out the 7-Eleven example, if you're going to be in a bar and you're going to pitch the adventure, that is a good, that's a classic setting. Like, their heroes are there for whatever reasons, and the DM in some form, someone's coming to the job, or somebody in the party has come across this opportunity for an air quotes adventure, mission, what have you. But if you're going to take the other angle on this, perhaps, and they all get swept up into something where somewhere kind of relatable, like, I don't know, a convenience store, if it's in an urban present day setting where something happens unexpected and they're all just kind of pulled into an adventure where, like, in, I hate to say this, did eventually end up in a bar for Curse of Strahd, but we, our characters were pulled into a missing children's case. We weren't all, like, no one, like, you know, sat down and said, oh, you're the children of destiny, and you must assemble the five keys, and each of you represent an element, and there's a dark lord with orcs moving, none of these things. There was something we're all pulled together, and we ended up working together from that fashion. That was our starting point.
I mean, I think, and to your point, stuff like Tron or the original D&D cartoon, there is something about being pulled into an adventure, right? A tavern is a very much like a... The consent, right? That's what implied consent is going to be the name of this. But there's a, right? I'm in a tavern. I'm doing something. I'm in a place doing illicit things, or I'm having beers. I'm talking to people, gossiping. If I'm trying, I mean, I guess he was doing something illicit, but he's pulled into the digital world, doesn't know where he is. That's a very powerful in media res kind of thing. Like the D&D cartoon, they're playing it and they're pulled into the world. It changes the thing. It creates an impetus for stuff like that. It's like a portal, but I think it still could have something to that, because the getting pulled into something like that, getting pulled out of your comfort zone, the tavern is like, I get to choose the adventure and then I get to go out the door and do it, right? It's a little different if all of a sudden the adventure comes in the tavern door and rips me out of there, right? And I'm pulled and I'm kidnapped and taken up to the frozen north and something happens like that. I think there's something powerful to leveraging the power of that, taking them out of the comfort of the tavern. The tavern is nice and I get to choose my stuff and it's at my own pace a little bit, right? I can order another beer if I want to. But stuff like that, there is a power to pulling you out into something that is completely foreign now. And now I have to confront it. And through that, I'm playing. It's like jumping into combat right away. I'm playing. I'm not forced to have to sort of think about contextually how I want my voice to be and everything like that. I'm playing the game and I'm like trying to figure out things. It's like engaging my creativity.
one of the ways that it's not a great thing to start in something like a tavern is for the very reason why sometimes it's a great thing. And it kind of depends, like you guys have been pointing towards, what is the start of this adventure? Like, what type of thing is happening? Is it something like, you know, you guys met in a tavern in Dragonlance a session or two in when you had a reason to be going there and you had already come across the draconian threat and this weird thing and you were heading towards it, but we didn't start that way because the tavern is not the important part of the adventure. The adventure is about the war that's encroaching, right? As opposed to something like where a tavern isn't good, the same reason for a town. And the reason that you could say is a town the best place to start an adventure too, because the tavern is kind of the central hub of this. As we said, it's the town square. But it's the idea of like the openness of the adventure, where it's harder in a tavern to have, okay, this is the adventure we're going on. Chult, Strahd, Lord of the Rings, whatever. It's a lot harder when you're in the tavern because unless somebody, like Chris, you said, punches the door in, well, I have lots of stuff that's happening. So that's the good and the bad, depending on what you're trying to do. I would say like Valaki in Curse of Strahd is a perfect example. Or in some people, they'll put the jobs board in town. And what in essence you're doing in the tavern is you are throwing out multiple hooks to see where so giving a level of agency to the players to see, where do I want to go with this? Tony, you said when you guys got into Baroque, so you actually did start in a tavern in like the real world before you even got pulled into Barovia, because I had set it up where Bonnie's character, Little One, in essence was hiring you guys on to go help with these missing kids. So you came to the tavern as a way stop. It was not it was a means to introduce the adventure, right? But in the same way with Valaki, you get into Barovia, you go to the Blood on the Vine Tavern. There you go. You're in the tavern, and now here's the adventure, right? And Strahd attacks,
the church is there.
Right, right. But then you're kind of literally on the road in the old Svalich Road is literally the railroad. And you hit certain areas, but you can decide, do I want to go to Old Bone Grinder? Do I want to go up to Castle Ravenloft? I don't know. But once you then hit Valaki, that is the hub. That is the area of the adventure. For anyone that's been DMing, it knows that it goes off on multiple tangents. The same thing with a town and a tavern. It can offer multiple tangents, which is great, unless it's not great, right? So it's maybe not, if you need something to happen, a tavern may or may not be the best place to start it.
I'm going to make some food analogies because, like, I'm Italian and I can't get away from these things.
I'm getting hungry.
Well, sorry. But so it's really like the tavern is kind of like your serving tray. And in some respects, you want your players to eat dinner and you want them to enjoy it. But you don't necessarily want to bring them a menu unless you're doing that in session zero. That is your moment of the menu. Once we sit down for the first game, I'm revealing the tray. And what is under there? Well, hopefully it is a plot that is either connecting with the character's goals, it's directly pulling them in, or it's done by their choice. Like, this sounds like something, wow, there's kids that are in danger and my character is enticed by that and they're driven by this, I'm going to go after that. Ideally, you want to hit at least 2 out of 3 of these, because then you feel I just pull you in and you're like, you know, that can be its character motivation by itself and being interesting. But you have to have other aspects there for them as well, where like you're pulled into this adventure and you're like, wow, look at this amazing place that I'm also in and all these other opportunities to do things.
Yeah, no, and I think it's truthfully taverns are cool, but I think taverns are better for more experienced role players, where you're going to have the opportunity to role play and do other things. If you're running a table of newer players or a mix, a tavern's a good waypoint, like we've addressed in a lot of these adventures. It's not the place that we like, you start off and you're in a tavern and you don't know the other people there, right? Because then you always have that, there's always going to be some player when the stuff busts out and he's going to be like, well, I'm just going to sit at the bar and see what happens. And at the DM, you're like, oh, okay. Like, this is supposed to be where we become a party, but this guy's going to sort of sit out this combat and he's not sure. So I think if you're going to use a tavern, it's got to be with a group of players who want to role play, right?
Because I'm not sure if my character would attack the goblin.
Yeah, yet. Right. I don't know if that's what my character would do.
Always pretend like, it has happened.
Right, this is like session one, right? But it's you know, and I think it's, if you're going to use it, it's with the right group of players. Otherwise, it becomes a point at which you meeting at the tavern to meet this person. We were going to the tavern for Strahd because Little One had summoned us there. Like, we weren't organically just sitting in a tavern and having to then drum up a thing. There was something, an impetus that brought us there that kept it moving. Because if you have a group of people at the table, like, they all just don't want to sit around pretending to drink beers for a while, right? Like, the tavern is cool, but it's a means to an end. It's a means to deliver several rumors, and it can get quickly off hook. It can get long, which is good with a table full of role players, but not with the thing. So I think using it as a spot where you have to meet up and you go somewhere, that works good. This is a meeting spot. We meet out at the tree, right? That's like the fire drill and stuff like that. So everybody meets out at the tree. We know there, and then we can go on from there to wherever it is that the next thing is. But we have a centralized spot where we all go. But it's not just this random sort of thing where everyone just sort of wanders out to the tree during a fire and we're like, oh, thank God we all made it here, right? It's a game for many of us. It's a short amount of time we have scheduling. So it's better to use other means to get them there, to have it ready. Session zero, I know why I'm here. I know where my characters are. I know what the reason they're here for. And this is what you're going for. So go at it. Because even in Strahd, like, right away, there was an impetus towards something. And then side quests started to become available. But there was always an overarching reason. Like, we're going after this. Like, a lot of the other things were just part of the evil of the area. We were after Strahd. Like, the whole point of it was we were after Strahd the whole time, right? Or to get ourselves powerful enough to go after Strahd. Like,
I really invited us
early
say,
on, and we're like, yeah.
I still
like,
say
no
that
way,
was
dude,
some of my you know, most but, expert DMing to really get you guys to understand that Strahd was the big bad in this adventure. Like, that was some real heavy lifting on my part. I mean, you know. I mean,
who it was the high collar cape.
Yeah, but, how do you even know
that
that's
the adventure? And when we play, you know, you're doing a Curse of Strahd adventure. We can do a tavern; it's cool. But I'm showing up because I'm like, man, got the car. We're going after Strahd at some point, right? Like that. There is a, as a player here, I know enough about it that it's seeding my imagination before I even sit down at the table that this is what I want to go after. That's what I'm saying. If you're a really good experienced group who loves to do sandboxing and just sit down and just come up with something right there and have a whole bunch of side quests and not have a true thing, then absolutely. But a regular old, you know, meeting group campaign thing, have it in media res, have it get them to whatever it is that they're doing as quickly as possible. The tavern is an awesome spot and it's a key place to meet. Where you're going to, every town you hit, you're probably going to stop there first because you're probably sleeping there as well or something like that. But it's not everything that it needs to be. It's only a means to an end because we all kind of already know what we're out there adventuring for. We already have an idea of what we want our characters to do and where we want them to go.
Point Dave made that was really good as he was going through Tolkien. Yes, it's true. We go back to lore tolerance. So you guys meet in a tavern or you meet anywhere and the DM is pitching the plot. And something that how I liked how Dragonlance moved versus the Lord of the Rings book, which of course is, you know, one of my all-time personal favorites, but let's just call this on the face of it. You don't need to reveal.
One's a book, one's a game, right? That's the biggest difference.
I'm just talking plot devices.
Yeah,
so, So with Dragonlance and some spoilers, when we meet up in our initial session, we were all sucked in together. Like, that was just going on. We're defending a village. And then we meet up for the funeral. Now, with that said, during these points, we were given enough information to move to the next section. But there was obviously a much larger overarching plot, which was going to reveal itself over time. Versus where in The Lord of the Rings, where Gandalf.
Here's the whole adventure. Go.
Yeah, where Gandalf's just like,
you have like, time. Let's sit down.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to need you to get a comfortable chair and put some Hobbit coffee on, get me some halfling cigarettes.
Dude, it's, like, I nodded out a couple times there. Could you go over that other part about Mordor again? I think I missed
it. It was like 20 pages. And what's so crazy with it is like, again, it's been so long since I've seen that. And it's so apropos, Tony, like you're making the point of this, like, let me deliver this massive monologue to explain the entire thing, where what Jackson did, which I thought was actually way better than Tolkien in terms of the media that he was presenting this in, is he broke up multiple parts of, like, everything is still said that Gandalf says. It is said over multiple movies, and it's not always said by Gandalf. Like, he takes the part of the history in the beginning, and Galadriel is talking about it, and then he's talking about stuff like pity is what stayed Bilbo's hand, and it's all people don't want to come to times like these, is literally over three movies. That's all in that 20 pages of that monologue while he's sitting in his goddamn Shire bag end house, dude. Like, you know?
But in many ways, I mean, that is the, if we think about it, like anytime we get on a large scale adventure, there is always a bit of a lore drop at the beginning. In Ragnarok, we learned about this is the world that you're in and stuff like that. So in many ways, Tolkien was doing it. He was very voluminous with his writing and his descriptions of it, and he had really had to connect it all together, right? So you get that, and I agree with how Jackson kind of parsed it out better. It was a different kind of, the writing then was different, right? It was less, he wasn't worried about getting to the action. He was he was much more concerned with world building and the slow burn. But it's, and so I think for the session zeros are the taverns that work the best for everybody, because I know why I'm here. I know I'm going to learn about the world. I'm going to learn about the players that are around me. I'm going to learn why it is that I'm going into chapter one, right? This quick preface here is going to tell me everything that I need to know, that when I start chapter one, it's still going to be a mystery where we're going, but like now I'm in the world. Now I'm a part of this world, and I'm not just a player coming to the table and playing it. My character has lived a little in the world, and it's kind of funny. We were talking about it, and it's like, maybe combat is truly the best way to bring everybody together. Because, I mean, think about it. If you think about Dragonlance, like, is there something that brings, I mean, in the real world, something that brings people closer than having to have served in something like that, military, team, some sort of sport like that, where you become a band of brothers through the hardships that you're having, not like us talking about it in between things, but nearly dying. And right, it happened to us. Oh my God, we barely saved Ross Guido there when he was underneath the horse and stuff like that. Draws the players together, and you get a feel for how everybody is. They start to just play their characters versus having to come up with a description and say, well, I have long flowing hair and I'm wearing a green shirt and all this other things. Like, I think there are many ways you could say that starting something like that, where we started in a combat situation, made as a session zero, made the initial meetup of us 5 years later, right, in sort of like in story time, that much more poignant, because we had served in something more than just a conversation around a table. We had participated in something where there were stakes, and we could see how other people would act under stress and pressure. Like, it was that sort of, you know, it creates that sort of brotherly sort of aspect to the adventure just through something as simple. I mean, it's combat as the basis for all, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and RPGs. Combat itself is really the true best way to bring a party together.
Those are really good points, Chris. And I'm glad that actually it came through that way, because that's what I was trying to do with Dragonlance, because I thought, I've said it many times, I think that this, the adventure hook of the Ispin and the funeral, is one of the best ones that I've seen so far in any of the 5e material that I've either read or played through. It's very organic. It sets the whole story up. So I just took it, like the one article I wrote about it, you know, as a way to introduce it with the Warriors of Kryn supplement, as we've talked, we've been playing with it. Because it was a great way to have that training scenario and then build even more, like really load it up so that everyone was all okay, we got this. We're like you said, the band of brothers. That is a good point with the combat thing, because it short circuits around all of the other stuff. And now I just have to, I'm not going to be like, I'm going to sit out this one. I'm going to go to the bar and have a beer. No, that goblin is about to put an arrow in your throat, you know? So that is a good point.
You know, honestly, I don't disagree with that. Like, really, like, that opening was really solid. So all your characters are in a situation where you're going to defend this village that you happen to be at for whatever reason. We all have different ones. And you're checking your character boxes. Well, would all of your would-be hero characters defend a village against an onslaught? Would you let all these people be massacred or this place burned to the ground? Well, even if you're remotely decent people, the answer is no, you would not. And that really, we got pulled into a battle. It set a good tone for the entire game. And like I said, the lore, you know, it set us enough to go to the next stage, but it wasn't overwhelming. We're like, okay, before the battle starts, we're in the inn. You know, here's a 20-minute monologue by Dave. He's standing up, using funny voices, he's putting on different costumes, he's changing the music, you know, to do all that stuff, because here it is.
I do love doing that stuff, though.
And you can pull it off pretty well, although your speaker needs some love, but...
But it just makes it much more poignant, right? It makes a reason to your point, Tony, like, it's that your character can be, you know, we can play footsies with the alignment, and everybody can be a chaotic neutral or something like that, but I can see, you know, then that person that's in the company then, all of a sudden, well, I've seen them under fire, and they actually help this person out, so now I have a reason that I may actually adventure with this person, who maybe I wouldn't necessarily even hang out with, but now we're sort of strapped together through this, and there is a reason, because I've seen them do these things, right? When we fight together, even though we may like disagree in the sort of peaceful times. And so I think it provides something to it. There's something that's very simple and easy about bringing everybody together, because having to think about all that stuff, like I'll be driving over for like a campaign session and I'm working on my voice and I'm thinking like, all right, so what's Rasquedo going to do today? What's Skull going to do today? And that's good. And that's powerful. And we've been doing it for a while now, so it becomes part of what you do. But if you're not that deeply invested in your character, if you don't play it to that way, if you're not as experienced, it's much easier to then just like, if I'm a first time player, then it's just like, all right, just roll that and add that modifier to it, right? Instead of saying like, well, now tell me what your character looks like and why he's here. And they're like, well, I'm like, you know, a lot of times you're going to get to, well, I was an adventurer, you know, and I just wanted to do this or something like that. Like, it's difficult to have like this, develop. And then you're surrounded by other people who are going to come out with these poignant backstories. So I think like the combat gives you that way. It's a great equalizer. Then everybody is just rolling off their sheets, and it's not your ability to be creative or, well-spoken in role-playing situations at the moment, which an initial role-playing situation with characters can be very stressful, because some people are really good at it, right? Like, we could do all the voices and stuff like that, and other people, like Lenny would get intimidated. I'm like, oh, don't, like, you don't have to do voices, you don't have to do anything. What you're doing is totally fine, and it's as immersive, but you can feel the pressure from other people around you who are more, you know, have more flourishes in their role-play and their backgrounds and backstories.
Chris, I would disagree. I think that what you're going to get if it's brand new players to everything, when you say, describe your character, they'll be like, well, I'm a druid. Yeah, I'm level one. I have a 17 wisdom.
At a point, and it's like, good, like you're getting it. So, but it's like the fun is then, boom, I'm rolling the dice. And then I'm having fun, right? And then all of a sudden, then maybe my characters do stuff, and maybe I think of something for him to say, or somebody else does something, and I start to pull from that, but I'm not having to sit there and kind of come up with my own individual sort of monologue, soliloquy about my character right there from the get-go.
Anyway, it's about that time, though. So again, this is episode 3 of RPG Mythbusters, and I think we're bringing it back. I think it's been long enough. There's plenty of myths to do. So, tavern is the best place to start an adventure. Is it busted, confirmed, or plausible? Some final thoughts.
I think it's certainly plausible, because it's a relatable place to drop, to do your opening. Even the most inexperienced players who are completely new to any form of tabletop RPGs can imagine a tavern. The Tower of High Sorcery, the Paladin's Chapel. Does that look like the Sistine Chapel? You know, that just – the other one just conjures immediate images and thoughts of where they are to help them get immersed in the role. So what you're serving up here basically is something that you should discuss in session zero, so they know what they're coming to. And then you reveal under the serving tray, and there's dinner, which hopefully they're going to like, and it's got something that either ties into their character, would be good with their character choices, and or you manage to pull them in, or any combination of the three. So then everyone now is on stand and start enjoying this meal that you've prepared, and it's a smooth open.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'd say plausible in that it depends on the people at your table. I think they're an easy sell. They're rather than coming up with something like a Paladin's Chapel or some temple in the desert to start off at, right, where you have to conjure something that's not, you say tavern right away. I'm going to encounter secrets and clues there. But I think it more importantly is that it's a stopping point, is that the starting point for your adventure should be someplace where everyone gets together and has some fun. A little bit of combat, a little bit of something like that. Don't get stuck having to think that I have to go into a tavern and have that be the complete starting point of the adventure. Maybe that's the tree we meet at and the fire drill. So there's an implied reason why we're all going out there and something's going to happen there, but we're not just showing up there and it's just this open, completely organic experience. That's something for really highly experienced sandbox players. I think you use it as a device, like you get a letter, I go to the tavern, and then from the tavern, boom, I'm off. It's like the terminal in the airport. Is that it's like I don't want to go there and have 17,000 different flights. By the time I get to the terminal, I know I'm going to Florida. Some different shit may happen in Florida, right? But I get to the terminal and I'm off there. And I think that's the way to think of it as a starting point. Session zero is where stuff happens. The tavern, the start, is just the terminal. That's the spot where you take off and fly off into the adventure there and into your campaign.
I think we're all probably on that same line of plausible. I would say plausible to confirmed. I think it's time tested and that's the reason it is a trope and why people say it's overhyped, but there's a reason it is. Some of the best things about it, it's an easy introduction. People can introduce their characters in a much less stressful way than a goblin ambush. Historically speaking, it is the meeting place and the town square, more so than the town square. Even in our own world, it was where the seeds of revolution were fomented. And I'm sure it goes back to the old world as well. The times when it is where it can be not as helpful, which makes it plausible and then even sometimes busted, is if you need the adventure to happen, if you need to get the people going, if you need to get them to the cracks of doom, if you need them to get to Barovia, if you need them to get into Chult, it can be, the benefit of it is, like I said, Velaki or the jobs board. It opens up a level of a hub where a lot of things can happen. So you can have lots of seeds. That can be a little bit harder to then navigate to get all those seeds to point towards kind of where you want to go or where you need them to go, unless it's just a seeds adventure. And let's see where you guys go and the adventure starts, which is great, too. But yeah, I think overall it is very plausible. And I have started many in a tavern. I've also started many not in a tavern, as we say, but it is an excellent place, Chris, like you said, to be the fire drill point. We know that we have to go to the tavern, meet me in the Prancing Pony in Bree, right? I mean, there you go. You know, there's adventure that's happening before that and a ton after that.
Tolkien taught us everything we need to know.
Yeah, I feel it was very fortuitous that I picked up the Lord of the Rings, because this turned into a, like, how did Tolkien show us things to do and not do?
He is the master.
Anyway. Indeed.
So that is it for us here. Obviously, if you are starting in a tavern, though, you're probably, I don't know if you need to roll dice for that, but if you're playing something like I want to do the Yawning Portal board game, well, no, there's no dice for that, but you need dice. So go freaking get dice. Okay. I try to make a thing out of it each week, but obviously we have an affiliate link over at FanRoll Dice. They do great products. They're a good company, a small company. That we kind of partnered with. So you can go to fanrolldice.com/REF/2871. If you enter in the code 3WiseDMs10, that's the number 3 and the number 10, 3WiseDMs10, you're going to get 10% off your entire order, which is pretty sweet. Again, we're still in the first level of the Dungeon of YouTube, the Lost Caverns of YouTube. But we are heading towards the Algorithm Dragon. We can already hear the slumbering mass of the Algorithm Dragon that we are supposed to slay. So please head on over to our YouTube channel, subscribe, Hit the bell icon, I think they always say. But we want to build up some subscribers because we're going to start opening that up to not just episodes, but some fun other stuff. So we want to see. So let us know also what you guys would like to see on there. As always, you can reach us here at 3wisedms@gmail.com. You can also go to 3wisedms.com and enter any question you have in the What's Your Problem field. This is obviously ours, the Mythbusters episodes, but we love to help DMs with problems because we're DMs with problems. So send us what's concerning you in your games. You can also obviously reach us Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X, whatever the hell that thing's called now. We're very active on those socials as well. That's going to be up for us this week. And as we do each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you all for listening to us today for another episode of 3 Wise DMs. This one was not based on audience questions. However, most of our episodes are. So if you have any questions you'd like us to talk about, any issue you'd like to hear us banter around, you can send us an email at 3wisedms@gmail.com. Question in the What's Your Problem field. That's 3wisedms.com, the website. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're covering those all the time, replying a lot. So feel free to send us questions, comments, kudos there. And if you like what you're listening to, please, and whatever podcast platform you're listening on, smash that 5-star rating button, leave us a positive review, tell your friends. You know, it's really been taking off. It's been doing great. The audience is growing, and that's really you guys talking about us. So we appreciate that. Thank you very much. And it totally makes a difference. So that's it this time. See you next week on 3 Wise DMs.